KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:01, we have a clear to partly cloudy sky, 20 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be mostly sunny here today, a high around 60. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. In local news, the Cass County Board of Supervisors Wednesday approved the assignment of a county-held tax sale certificate of purchase for a lot in Cumberland. Cass County Treasurer Tracy J. Marshall told the supervisors the lot is next to property owned by Brent Paulson, who wants to clean up the lot and get the property back on the tax roll. Auditor Dale Sunderman said it's not really a high-value property as far as taxes are concerned, bringing in about $38 a year. Board Chair Frank Waters said Paulson wants to improve the community by cleaning up the site and possibly making it a small park, or at least get rid of the eyesore of junk material currently located on the lot, which is in the south half of the east half of Lot 9, Block 9, 2nd Edition in Cumberland. In other business, the Cass County Board of Supervisors heard from Engineer Charlie Marker. He updated the board on the gravel roads and secondary roads department will be working on this year. More specifically, he said they'll be doing that 1 mile at a time.
Now, we have part of our rock broken out to do what is called spot rocking. When the spring thaws go out or the rains start and we get muddy spots within the county, they go out and just hit those muddy spots. That's why it's called spot rocking.
Marker says contract rock currently runs $10 per ton, which takes up a good chunk of his budget.
We have been stockpiling some of the material. You've seen some down at the Cumberland Corner. There's also some at the Anita Shed. That way we've got it available closer to where we're going to need it this spring rather than having to do the long haul. There's about 30 miles in each district, just as a kind of a figure. What we do is we added up all the miles in the county of rock roads, divided it out by each district, so we had the percentage that each district had, and that's how we broke the money up too.
He says the rock costs his department $790,000. That figure does not include the cost of handling and material. Marker says his department receives $1.7 million from property taxes, with nearly half of that going for the purchase of rock alone.
Many people ask, where's my property tax dollars going? And if you want to say in regards to the secondary road budget, $790,000 out of your $1,007,000 is going strictly for rock.
And that's at the quarry.
That is the price of rock only.
At the quarry.
Now, you know, if you're in the construction industry or in the truck hauling business, it's almost as much just to haul it as it is that. That doesn't include snow removal, brush cutting, any of the other things the secondary road budget does.
He says the decision on which roads need to be bladed or re-rocked is made with each district foreman. Also in her report to the board, Cass County Mental Health and General Relief Coordinator Deb Schuler said the 28E agreement for a regionalized mental health services has been accepted, and another regional meeting will be held March 31st to approve the management plan, which is then submitted to the state by no later than April the 1st. Schuler said also that Dr. John Bigelow of the Southwest Iowa Mental Health Center has been appointed to the Regional Mental Health Advisory Council, which means that Cass County will be represented on that particular board. Some of the persons on that council will in turn be appointed to the board that's in charge of running the regional services. News time is 8:05.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson True Value for all your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut Street in beautiful downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
Well, officials at the Museum of Danish America in Elkhorn, formerly known as the Danish Immigrant Museum, report the museum has received a $50,000 grant from the Iowa West Foundation for the purpose of installing a green roof on the Curatorial Center addition, which is currently under construction. The green roof is expected to maximize both energy efficiency and the thermal barrier between the outdoor environment and artifact storage areas, as well as incorporate the addition into the visitor experience of the surrounding Jens Jensen Prairie Landscape Park. The addition is being built in the western hillside of the museum and connects in a basement level, bringing the top of the structure at nearly ground level. The green roof will serve as an elevated continuation of the Jens Jensen Prairie Landscape Park space, and museum visitors will be able to walk on a pathway atop the roof, view the native plantings, and read interpretive panels about green roofs and native plantings. The museum's green roof will be unusual in that it incorporates prairie grasses and forbs instead of sedums, which are commonly used on green roofs. The planting plan, developed by landscapers and Midwest Ground Covers of St. Charles, Illinois, is based on research done by the Chicago Botanic Gardens Plant Conservation Science Center. The roof will be comprised of 20 different native plants, and under the roof, the curatorial center will add 8,000 square feet of artifact storage area and staff workspaces. Construction began on the project in September of last year and is expected to reach completion this summer. The Iowa West Foundation grant for the Museum of Danish America was included in their 2013 fourth quarter grant awards to 32 nonprofit organizations in the area. Well, Fremont County in the southwest corner of the state became the first to institute a burn ban on Tuesday, and nearby Mills, Montgomery, Page, and Pottawatomie counties followed suit and implemented their burn bans on Wednesday. Ron Humphrey, a special agent of the state fire marshal's office, said local fire and emergency management leaders make the decision on issuing a ban based on various conditions.
The general ones are just, the dryness of the conditions, wind conditions. I suppose there's several other things they look at.
Spring begins today, just before noon, in fact, and Humphrey says it's one of the prime times for counties to decide on a burn ban.
This time of year, all the vegetation is, dried up and dead, and without the snow on the ground to give it the moisture to keep it damp. This time of year is about when it starts to, we start to see these burn bans. And, of course, the windy time of year, too. And once the fire does get going, it can spread fairly rapidly given the condition.
The counties not only determine when to institute a burn ban, they also decide how restrictive those bans will be.
Usually it doesn't mean the burning is completely banned, but it may be a permitting process during these times that you have to get a permit or other steps. But like I said, that's county dependent on how they set up their bans.
You need to check with your local officials to see if the restrictions on burning in your county are under a ban, or if your county's under a ban. And you can find a list of the burn bans on the state fire marshal's website. There is a link to that under this same story on the news tab at KJAN.com. And finally in the news, next week, March 24th through the 28th, is Severe Weather Awareness Week. Cass County Emergency Management Coordinator Mike Kennan says a statewide tornado drill will take place on or about 10:15 a.m. on the next Wednesday, with the warning signs being or sirens being activated throughout the county and weather radios, of course, sounding their alerts. Kennan says the tornado drill will be an excellent opportunity for Cass County residents, businesses, and schools to practice their own procedures in the event of severe weather.
We're really going to put a focus on the tornado drill. The week is kind of important, but it just seems like so many people focus in on the tornado aspect of it. I think we're really going to zoom in on that part and not forget the rest, but just kind of touch base.
In the event of severe weather on that day or potential for severe weather, the test watches may be postponed. More information about Severe Weather Awareness Week and the related tornado drill will be released in the coming days. Another form of severe weather is the extremely dry and windy conditions that can cause controlled burns to quickly spread and become out of control, placing lives and property in danger. As we've mentioned this week and during the previous report, numerous counties in southwest Iowa have instituted a ban on open burning, and Shelby County has their biweekly updates on the fire danger in that county that began on Monday. Mike Kennan says there is no ban on open outdoor burning in Cass County, but that may change. The meeting is slated to be discussed during the County Fire Association meeting later on this evening. The local fire chiefs can elect to place a burn ban in effect for their specific district if they wish, but in general, a consensus is obtained from all the chiefs for a countywide burn ban, which is more formal and encompassing. Anyone thinking about conducting a controlled burn in the meantime needs to do a couple of things, according to Kennan.
There's two calls that always need to be made. One is to the fire chief and the other to the comm center, so that we don't have, even if it is a controlled burn, you're okay. That doesn't mean all your neighbors aren't calling, and rightly so. We want people to report those things.
And taking a look at world headlines, officials say military planes flying over the Indian Ocean will continue their search for possible debris from the missing Malaysia Airlines flight. Satellite imagery shows two large objects bobbing in the ocean, but Australian authorities say the first of four planes sent to the site couldn't find those objects amid clouds and rain. Flight 370 disappeared on March the 8th while flying from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing. The Labor Department says the number of people seeking unemployment benefits rose by 5,000 last week to a seasonally adjusted 320,000. That's still close to pre-recession levels and suggests a stable job market. The less volatile four-week average of applications fell by 3,500 to 327,000, and that's the lowest since late November. News time is 8:11.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson True Value for all your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut Street in beautiful downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
In the funeral announcements, Meredith Blazik, age 67, of Rural Orient, died Tuesday at the Atlantic Nursing and Rehab Center. Funeral services for, I make that celebration of life services for Meredith Blazik will be held on Saturday at 10:30 at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Glenn McGill, age 73, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at his home. Funeral services for Glenn McGill will be held Saturday at 10:30 at the First Church of Christ in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Charles Parmley, age 91, of Brayton, died Saturday at the Audubon County Hospital. Funeral services for Charles Parmley will be held Saturday at 10:30 at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Donald Spoo, age 81, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Cass County Hospital. Memorial services for Donald Spoo will be Saturday at 11 o'clock at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Alan Craig Parker, age 64, who's formerly of Oakland, died Tuesday in Missouri. Graveside services for Craig Parker will be Saturday at 11:30 in the Belknap Cemetery west of Oakland. Regan Veith Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Anna Flynn, age 94, of Elkhorn, died February 28th at the Salem Lutheran Home. Memorial services for Anna Flynn will be held on Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Kimbleton. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Verrill Benton, age 90, of Guthrie Center, died Monday at the New Homestead in Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Verrill Benton will be held Friday, tomorrow at 10:30, at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. And Jerry Bice of Des Moines died Tuesday at his home. Memorial services for Jerry Bice are pending at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Henson reporting.